Ah, that's the first person in the life we did.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Priscilla Fidel interviewing Mr. J.D. Teitelbaum, May 11th, 1981. Where do you live, Mr. Teitelbaum?
5703 Dalek Road.
Mr. Teitelbaum, could you tell me about your immediate family, your father and mother and sisters and brothers?
It's the hardest thing to answer this question. 1945. A fella comes in from Europe. He was the witness of a woman that he came up alive. And father and mother, three brothers, two sisters, and all the children got killed in one day, but since that time I don't do anything to enjoy myself, and I live my life right. It was happening in 1941, 42. And this fellow coming from Europe, and he told me exactly he was there. It was, I was living in a city by the name Warsaw. At that time was there 75 Jews, 75 Jews. The population was a quarter of a million Jews in the city. Everything is down. There's now only one place in all the places. And after Tvar the gas, that I don't know how they call it, the gas in here, the street. The name Tvar is one little shul, but it's actually only maybe but they even come to you.
What country was your family from?
At that time it was Russian there.
You were Russian?
Now this is the capital of Poland. When I was there, it took me, it was a fellow by the name Pilsudski, and a fellow by the name, he's a piano player, a big piano player, Podorovsky. They were the two day old in this country. And I was there. And then I tried to bring him in, but I couldn't. It was too late already, you know. Since that time, I live my life quiet, which I still live a public life in certain things, in doing things which a lot of people doesn't like it. That is, have to do whatever it happens. Whoever died, they call me up 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I have to go out. And then the other thing that I do, I was living in the Hill District in Pittsburgh. In the Hill District, which I call Little Africa. I wouldn't call the nigger. Little Africa, I lived there. I lived there for 25 years.
What was your home like when you were growing up in Europe?
I was steady. I was like in a Jew, like you go to Pitt College, I was in a Jewish university.
When you were a child?
Yes, stayed till 19 years old. Mm-hmm. I come to the United States, it was not quite from 2 years. Mm-hmm. I come to the United States. In here, I've done a lot of things in my life, but the only thing that I did do is somebody would give me $1,000 to go to Saudi, I wouldn't do it. Well, it's the truth, you know. It's every rabbi in the city of Pittsburgh, every rabbi in the city of New York, they know me, Mr. Teitelbaum. There is a fellow working right here in IKS Silver. In IKS, he's a special officer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever go in there. See, one officer is a big musician. His father, Rabbi Silver from Cincinnati, he was the head of all the rabbis in the United States, in the Orthodox rabbis. This is my friends, all my friends, all my people, you know. Of course I come together with you people, like when I come together one time with Rabbi Goldenson, till he was here. And then Frio is like a big scholar, and the nicest man. He's a poor man, it's only making a difference, you know. He's a very big scholar. in the late level down in Amerika part of it, that's a certain day. Which I'm the man to make it, and other people should be able to eat.
But now, getting back to your home when you were growing up, when you were a child, it was a religious home.
Yeah, very religious.
Very religious.
Yeah.
And what was the economic situation in your family?
What do you mean economic?
Was it a well-to-do family? Were you struggling in those years?
Well, my district, I remember when I was 10 years old, not quite. My father didn't like it here, it's going out, and there a lot of money. He lost it in 6 months.
He lost his money, no.
With the family, you know, I come, I got there, I told you, 3 brothers, 3 sisters. Yeah. I got nobody. Nobody. When I come to the United States, naturally you go through all these things in Ellis Island, you know. I stood with a fella, and the fella said to me, "Don't go," I said, "it's going to be all right, don't go." Then I see it, I said, "I want to go home." I said, "Jake, you're crazy, what do you mean you want to go home? Well, take a look, this consumption people is just blood." I said, "No, they're chewing tobacco, this is the first time that I see this in my life." I kept just in there laughed. I was afraid, don't forget, I was afraid to stay here. What the heck, what's going on? To don't go. You're going to find it. Naturally, the first stop was in New York. And I take a look. It's not meant for me. They used to say in the United States, when a person could make a living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, could make a living all over the United States. Then I come to Pittsburgh. What for? You ask me now, I still don't know. When I come in, I go, my friend, I got a good friend. I go and say, "Jake, what are you looking there?" "I'm looking maybe I'll find a piece of diamond." "Jake, don't go. You have to go to vote to make a living. It's a good way to travel."
Was there a big Jewish population in Pittsburgh? Is that one of the reasons that you came?
No, I didn't know from Pittsburgh. I didn't know anything about it. When I come to Pittsburgh, this street, the Murray Avenue, wasn't even paved. You know where the Murray Department is? It was the Murray Department. For 2 pieces of tracks. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. One car goes down, he goes up. That's my time.
What was life like in the community of your birth, where you were born?
Very religion life. What do you mean life?
Was it an agricultural community? Was it in the city?
In the city where I live was the way I told you, was a quarter of a million Jews.
So you lived in Warsaw?
Yeah.
And it was...
I could give you the name from the streets and everything, you should believe. Oh, yeah.
What did your father do?
My father was, I don't know how to explain to you. Let's say he was with a big pious rabbi together, you know. He make a living out of this, to be exact. And we have in the house, we have a big house, I would say about 15 rooms, and people, they come to see the rabbi, they stood in this house, and they make a living from these people. But they eat there, and for Saturday, for the holidays, they come there.
I see.
That's where they make a living.
Like a boarding house, kind of?
Well, you could call it the way it is. People to sleep. Mm-hmm. All over, over the holidays. We didn't have a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But we got busy with these people, they come to see the rabbi. Mm-hmm. They eat there, they sleep there, and then they go and meet some other people.
I see. Do you have memories of your friends and teachers when you were growing up?
No.
Any?
They don't move around. If I tell you, there isn't, For instance, I belong to the, I don't know how you call it, the young, Indian people, they call it the young Gizal Kuchar letter. And I met an Indian because they sent me, and I have to pay the postage, you know. Mm-hmm. In the young Gizal.
Young
Gizal. Young
Israel.
Young Israel.
Young Israel.
It's hard for me to talk, you know. Because the lips, when you see, I got through.
With your teeth?
My teeth. Because the doctor told me to take out everything till I got to my mother. And he told me, he said, Jake, you better go there. All right, I took out my teeth and put them in his table. My teeth.
Oh, those aren't your teeth.
I live my life the way you see me. When you come around from Friday till Saturday night, this burns 24, 26 hours. This burns from Saturday, stuff burns 26 hours. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I live my life, you know. Yeah.
What were the health and medical care services available to you when you lived in Warsaw?
That was all right.
They had...
You know, she asked me about it, and I said, I didn't give her the right time. I told her I should tell her it's 25 and a half. Because 25 was good, the half a year makes me old. I feel sorry, which yesterday I picked down this picture. You would see I got 10 grandchildren, 2 great grandchildren, they're going to Hill Academy. Mm-hmm. I send them about the Hill Academy, all my children. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody, what you see, I send it down there. I was the man, I don't know how you call it, treasurer.
You were the treasurer of Hillel yeah. Academy.
No, I'm not the treasurer to pay for the
Oh.
Yes, I got one son, $2.
When you were an adolescent, when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
What did you do for fun?
I didn't have any fun.
You didn't have any fun?
I remember they took us out in Nakonto, like you call it Nakonto, we call it different Friday. A fellow took out the rabbi with all the students. The first time that I see Payas going, Cheris going, and he come out and said, eat, eat. That's the first time that I see. In Varsi, you don't see this. Mm-hmm. Varsi was a mile of a mile. That means in here in the United States is 5,000 foot a mile. There is 20,000 some foot a mile. Mm. See, it's a different life. I could explain to you. It's like New York. Mm-hmm. In my place to go to Germany takes about 7 hours with the train. Austria, the same thing.
Could you tell me about your courtship and marriage? Your wife?
My wife, it's why do you think you're about me? My wife died, it's going to be 2 years. She was sick. Well, I would say a lot more, 8 years. I see my wife before I got married once. My father lived in Western Peace of church. He came home and said, Mazel Tov. What's a Mazel Tov? Nothing to know, like I'm gay, but took me too. Not with a maidel, not with a boy. That's the only way I'd say. I lived with her 60 years. 63 years. That's the reason I feel bad, which I don't want to go around, you know. Since that time, since all the assembly, I didn't like to go to weddings. And of course, now, in my old age, which the rabbinic council bothers me, which I have to go. I told me I should go to a break in somebody else. Then I do it. I'm a little bit quiet.
Did you marry her in Europe?
Yes.
And you brought her here?
6 weeks after I got married, they took me to the army.
Excuse me?
6 weeks after I got married, they took me to the Polish army. But that time was in the United States, a President Woodrow Wilson. Mm-hmm. He made 14 points. The point for Poland to become a government. No, they need soldiers. They need officers. They need this. They took me.
They took you to the Polish army?
Yeah.
Right after you were married?
6 weeks later.
And how long were you in the army?
I was on until I get a letter, the sugar's all right. I know what that means. Then I won't. They catch me. They put me in jail. Of course, they're supposed to shoot me. I deserved the horse. I wasn't trading for his cowboy. But the horse, I left everything. And finally, I got a very good lawyer. And he called me to explain to me, called me the Bible. If a fellow gets married, the first year, they have to be home, not to go until they get killed. And I got afraid, I went back. Then they got the letter. The sugar's good. Mm-hmm. And alone. And I made it.
Mm-hmm. And so you didn't serve very long?
No. I got trouble in the United States too. Yeah, I have to tell you this. If you ask me, I was arrested. I went down to the immigration commissioner. And I was there 8 hours in questions. 8 hours. In the federal office. Then they told me to sign the papers. I said, what is this? That's what she said the whole day. So I will not sign. What do you mean? You're an immigration minister. Till you read it over to me carefully, I forget. Otherwise, I will not sign. Then they read it over, it took another 2 hours. And after they finished reading, they said, you're going to have a hearing. All right. And then I don't bring my wife in here, you know. And I didn't have any decision papers. It was the law. Mm-hmm. You must be a full citizen. I called up a boyfriend of mine. She was the boss in a big plane, American shipping plane. And that's the way I believe it's going. And I told him, said, don't worry about it. They sent them, I'm in, I got my citizen papers, and I bring her over. And I bring my wife over in here. She got a kid for that year.
You had one child when you came here.
I didn't see the child. I didn't know the child.
You were here in America alone first.
Sure, alone. I couldn't bring her over because I have to be a full citizen.
I see.
Otherwise, I couldn't bring over nobody. You have to be a full citizen to bring somebody over.
And so you saw her 4.5 years later.
Yeah.
Had she changed?
No, I saw her 7 years later.
7 years later, you saw her.
In the middle, I saw her in Santo, not in America.
What was that experience like?
Well, in the only place that I remember, I came down in Germany, 1919, you couldn't get a piece of bread. You have to go to, like, in a police station to get a permit to get to it. So I come in, I ask for a piece of bread. He asked me how long he's going to be there. I could speak German fluently. And I told him about 3 days, very long. I didn't know that the United States and German was in bad terms. Mm. I said, it's American. If you would know German, I would give you dance in German, the way they talked to me. Mm-hmm. And they said, the German like to say, in Jewish in here, get the hell out of here. Well, and I put my hands in pocket and I'm hungry. And these two police carried me around. What do you got in your pocket? Did you put in your hand? You would take it out. And they told me in point gown, you know. Took it out, the final card, and me with my fingerprints. And exactly in my name, that I was working for the German government for nothing. Pick up the dead people, and the rich people to the hospital. But with they took all the young kids to do that. And then I said, why do you go to America? I said, I haven't got nothing to eat, I haven't got no job. Well, what shall I do? And they told me, they sent me to Friedrichstrasse, that's in Berlin. And they gave me a paper. I had 2 kilos of bread. I had a pan of schnit. Of schnit, that means like salam and something else. And a package of cigarettes and a package of chocolate. And I come down, my God, I see everything which I was there. He said to me, the best are not seen Juden. So I said, yes. Make a package and I want to put it in my hand to go ahead and pay him, said Altsbetsu. Then I didn't want it. So you have to go down to the Polizeibezirk, that's what they call the police station. I come down there, c'est que t'es nostalgique, t'as une idée à trouver. Tout qui fait Wilhelmsbahnhof, like the train station. I took a train, I went down to Aachen, Cologne. Cologne, and then came the adult to Aachen. Aachen is the greatest from Belgium and Germany. I went down to Brussels, to the capital from Belgium. Mm-hmm. And there in Brussels, come down and go down to the continent. Strike. Was it a strike? The ship strikes. In, but I got letters, but they gave me a loan. Whenever I come, they gave me money. I didn't have anything. Sitting down in the hotel in Brussels, in Antwerpen, I see a girl, a beautiful girl I never saw in my life. But I said, this is trifle for me because I'm a married man, you know. And I look at her, and she's crying. I asked the people, she's crying. They won't let her into America. Why? She can't write and read. This is the law.
That was the law then?
Oh, yeah, this mm-hmm. is still the law. Mm-hmm. Then I went to this girl, and I talked to her, and I said, can you go with me? Here they call it the shift card office. I mean, he called a different thing. They got the sold the shift card. I mean, the tickets to go to the United States. I come around, I talk to the man, and said, yes, what can you do for her? So I don't think I would take this girl every day and I learn her to sign her papers in Polish. You know, sign the paper on this. Oh, if you're going to do this, you're going to be all right. And I did it. Mm-hmm. And I wait extra 28 days in order that she be able to she come to America.
Yeah. So you helped her come.
Yeah.
Well, what was the experience like of being in America? You had to establish your citizenship and establish yourself here and then bring your wife over later.
Yeah, I bring it over. So soon
was it hard waiting?
I bring my wife over, so soon I got the papers. So soon I got the papers, mm-hmm. I bring her over. And I came to my oldest daughter, I feel very sorry, I don't know what boxes it. The kid, for 4 years, she didn't call me father. She said, tell the men to give me, to give man. Me a nickel.
The man.
No, that, listen, after all, I wasn't there. And being in the United States, I want to tell you something. You might not believe that. When I was a little boy, I always tried to read a lot of things, a lot of difference. And I want to see America. Did I know what America is? And I'm still not sad about being in America. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to me because I lost everybody. Mm-hmm. And I haven't got nobody except anybody. Many times it's very bad in you. I memorize things which you never in life see it, you know? Never. And that's what it is. Now when I come to the age 25 in my head, I said to myself, Jake, you see the picture, you go, the people read the papers. They got killed, that just reminds me, 4 months ago, but then I fell in, and I come around and bound when I got undressed. And I said, what the heck, you're putting merchandise on? He said, Jake, it's not merchandise. The man lost 100 pounds. It's too late for him to something. We have to do the job. The rest of him think like this. It wasn't the papers, it was another thing. It wasn't the papers, all around the paper. I done the job. And I still like America. What can I do? Things like this, I don't bother you. I don't bother. Mm-hmm. I go out, I don't bother. If I ask you for something, a favor, if you would do it, I appreciate it very much. No question about it. Too much time, but I'm not. But I'm not by myself. I never reach in no place. One lady called me up, Jake. Who's cooking for you? It's a Jake with Jewish jobs. Who prepared it? So I grew up with my chef, I can prepare him. I cook myself, make noodles myself, everything you feel for this mother. How do you think I know it? To long for that going to hotel.
Well, how do you know it?
But I go into hotels. I go into hotels 50 years.
Yeah, and you watch them cook.
Except washing. They're not allowed to touch anything till I come in.
Mm-hmm.
In the Independent, they helped me when I was 20 years in the Webster Hall. The whole time putting on the kitchen, the rabbis coming to me. I have to do with the rabbis, to be exact.
What is that called?
It's a Jewish religion. You have to dress in according to Jewish religion.
Mm-hmm.
The reformer doesn't believe in this. No, I don't. You have to dress in, like, I want you to be scared, but everything pure white linen. And certain things to me, I call them the religion.
When someone's being buried?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No metal. The man, if he has a ring, a diamond, I take it down. Only. And before this, he has to wash it clean. And cover them up the way according to Jewish law.
Where did you learn this?
I studied in Europe.
You learned this in the school before you were 25?
Oh, yeah.
Did you study this to be this as a profession? Or
no,
was it just part
no,
of your
no,
education? No,
like you going to be. You take this, and then you change it. This I know. I was the man that they asked me an interview. I was the man to answer all the detailed laws.
Mm-hmm.
What's supposed to be in this and something else, certain things. I, the young Pittsburgh, I used to go out once a month, sometimes two times a month, 250 miles, where they make cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to ask a question. What's a cheese? Cheese like this. Every piece of cheese that you buy in the store, if they haven't got any ingredients inside, it could stand on a day. This cheese, Mr. Green could send them 5 months, a year, like the Italian cheese, it's the best
mm-hmm.
cheese, you know. He named them in, for instance, I went on a place, they call it, I don't know how you call it, they call it Corbinsville. That's a Clearfield County. That's a round trip of 250 miles. 250 miles, and I come there, and they put in, well, I call it a bed top, in steel. 150,000 pounds of milk. I give them the orders, what kind of ingredients to put in there, what you're allowed to eat. And some of the other cheese, the, let's say the pure cheese, the pure sweet butter, couldn't make another milk except in a car. That is, the salt butter could make the milk in a horse, in a, even everything. And it takes 4 to 5 minutes of cheese already. At the end of the 50-pound milk, suddenly you don't see anything. And this is pressed. It stays away 2 weeks, and after the 2 weeks, I come out. It was grinded, cooked, packed, things. If you would see, they just lost a trial. The craft through the company for the patent. They said they steal the patent. If you see this machine, it comes down from the top, a liquid, you know, liquid
mm-hmm.
top of it. You push a button to make the liquid hard, then you push another button, it goes down in the machine with paper, they're up.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's separate,
yeah.
The girls only put it in the inside in the boxes. And this goes through the machine, when it comes out, one should go through a quarter, a 16th of a month more, the machine throws out the paper. It must be exactly the way now. Very interesting. I was going there for 18 years ago. Now I got older, so she won't stop losing something. What can I do? Who's going to give me a job?
Yeah.
Shlomo Matzl, let me give him a job.
So what were the name... It's a long question to ask now. Yeah.
What's going to be over minutes?
Well, let's start it. He can continue. What were the neighborhoods like when you came here from Europe? What did you find in America when you got here?
Free.
Free.
That's the main important thing. Go out to live at night and 10 and 10 o'clock at night, nobody bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the main thing in life. any person. You shouldn't be afraid to go out. That's the main thing. People don't realize what that means. To be, you know, you wouldn't eat a lot. You might lose a couple of pounds. But you get aggravated. So you could be still going to break you down. Afraid for this, afraid for this, afraid for this. Here, you know, if I don't bother you, they don't bother me. It's a funny thing, you know.
In Europe, it wasn't crime, though, that made you that way, afraid of everything.
No.
What was it?
He was strictly into the Russian Tsar. Paid him into, I believe, I could show you something right here. But you never see this in life. It used to be worth $200, but now that's not worth a penny. If they'll ask me if I could pick up one. I hope to God I got it in here. Someplace I show you something, a certain paper.
Mr. Teitelbaum, could you show it to us after the interview?
Yeah, I could show you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the freedom was the thing that was most important to you, you didn't have to worry about the Russian Tsar.
Oh, yes.
And they kept the Russian Tsar. What did he do?
I remember 1905. It was like people were not against the government. You couldn't count so many stones from here to Square, from Square to downtown. Many people were killed in 1 hour.